can I invite Chancellor Wise to say a couple of words on economic development? Because she's provided me with a couple of sort of seminal white papers on what could be. And of course, Urbana-Champaign is, with all of its assets, is going to be called on to lead this charge in some fundamental ways. And then Michael may want to comment as well. And the public policy issues. I think I look at our three chancellors here, they're all part of this.
why don't you go ahead about economic development? I just want to go a step back and talk about USC for a minute, because the question was brought up, it was answered, but I want a chance at this as well.
Well, I think President Killeen asked us to provide to him, because the governor had asked him to provide, for President Killeen to provide to the governor, ideas of how the University of Illinois writ large could help in economic development, because the governor clearly believes that you're not going to either increase or decrease taxes sufficiently to be able to rejuvenate the state of Illinois. And I worked with a small group of people to provide him with about a five-pager in terms of what we could do in terms of providing information technology, big data, ag, business finances related areas to really encourage new businesses to come to the state of Illinois. And then the governor did approach me and the University of Chicago's president and to put forward a proposal also. Because I think what the governor's doing right now is gathering as much information as he possibly can. I had met the governor because of the fact that he was on my strategic advisory board, so I think he came to me and felt that particularly engineering at Urbana-Champaign is so strong that in partnership with the University of Chicago, which has an incredibly strong College of Business, that we could put together a program that would bring new revenue to the state of Illinois by developing two nodes, one in Chicago and one in Urbana-Champaign, that would improve both the Chicagoland area and the central to southern Illinois area, again, in the area of innovation around financial, digital finances, around engineering, around water, around, and it was really a partnership between the University of Chicago, the University of Illinois, and also the national labs. I'd be happy to share.
Thank you. I just want to add that for our student trustees, that economic development means students too. It's opportunities, internships, it's successful approaches, it's curricular enriching, active learning strategies. So I see it very much as a part and parcel of our educational mission as well. And maybe Jim Dudisat might want to sort of frame this as, I mean, it's part of our mission. It's formally
Absolutely.
Part of our mission.
You know, the interesting thing is that the mistake universities sometimes make is they see it as a potential resource for the institution. And I was involved in a recent American Academy of Arts and Sciences study led by Neil Lane and Norm Augustine. And what they found is there are only about half a dozen universities in the country right now generating more from tech transfer licensing than they're paying their lawyers. So you have to be careful. As a public service,
don't knock the
economic
lawyers.
Development. That's right.
The lawyers always win. They always win.
So let me start at this comment, President Duderstadt, by saying that UIC has generated more than $20 million in royalties over the last number of years, understandably for one very successful patent, but we are not one of the universities that they spend more than the money they generate. Actually, we are endowing part of the money that we have generated in order to support our OTM office in the future. And in terms of economic development, we have started the process of being aligned with the City of Chicago and Cook County, because it's very important to understand what the priorities are in these areas so that UIC serves the city first and then the state of Illinois, and in the areas where it's needed, working with our sister institution in Urbana, because the engineering college in Chicago is by far the second largest in the state, and it's growing at very significant rates. And one more comment, Rick, on the comments that you made. There are many states that they would be very proud to call an institution like the University of Illinois Chicago as their top public research university in their state. We have been the flagship institution of the state for more than 100 years in the health sciences. And when you generate close to $350 million a year in research outcome, and you outperform more than half of the AAU universities that President Duderstadt talked about, this tells you why. The term adolescent that the president has used, it's time to start putting it behind, because the adolescent has grown up. It's really somebody that adults would love to be like.
Very good. That's called a little bit of the magic touch right there.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. We're rapidly getting to the time we need to stop, but I certainly entertain one more question. But I want to look over here. It's always been around this table, but any questions back there? Can we get the microphones in? It's on.
I'd like to come back to the students and ask Jim a question. One of the themes in your Chicago Council report was about the preparation of students, and in particular, our future in the K-12 system. There's lots of reason to worry about the preparation of our students. It doesn't seem as if it's going to get better very quickly. On the other hand, in that report, in a couple of places, you're careful about mission creep. I know that was one of the concerns of Marshall Boughton, for whom you wrote the report, in a sense. So could you comment on, as we think about our strategic plan, what the role of the University of Illinois should be in K-12 education and preparing our students?
It struck me that in putting together this master plan for the Great Lakes area, the one significant difference from the California master plan that was put together in the early 1960s is that it had to be much more comprehensive. It had to include almost cradle to grave educational opportunities, but particularly K-12. You know, what higher education can do is so dependent on it. And so that had to be a part of the whole effort. In our National Academy study of the future of the research university, we have a specific recommendation that all research universities should develop a strategic plan to become deeply engaged in K-12 education beyond simply their schools of education, institution-wide engagement in some way or another. You've seen examples of placing faculty in teaching in secondary schools, university faculty side by side with secondary school teachers to give them a sense of what they should be shooting for in terms of the education of their students so they're going to be able to succeed in college and so forth. But it takes commitment at the outset. In other words, universities can't sit back and believe this is something, you know, this is a challenge that other people are going to face. They've got to become engaged in it. And that's, again, engagement. You know, that's just as important as the history of engagement in agriculture, engagement in economic development. We have to become engaged in, you know, providing the education that people need throughout their lives, particularly prior to college, and then after graduating from college.
So this is not a place of mission creep that
you would need? No, absolutely not. No, it's absolutely necessary.
Well, let me just address that. I thought that was a very important issue because we don't get students out of public schools in the city of Chicago and other major metropolitan areas who are really prepared for a rigorous college education. Much of that is related to poverty, crime, corrections, and a whole lot of stuff that really disables kids from being able to accept a first-class K-12 education, irrespective of how bright the teachers are. Somebody has got to look at, and I think the role of this university would be to really research and look at some of the underlying impediments to learning that arise from poverty, that arise from criminally infested communities, that arise from family destruction in communities. And until we can address some of that, those issues, and really put together some of the research that's been done already on it, then I call that an avenue toward mission creep.
Thank you, Jim.
If I would like to add on to what Trustee Montgomery said, that I think that our hospital should consider, you know, our healthcare conglomerate should consider also research on the impact of drugs and alcohol on the brain, and if it has any impact on kids' ability to learn in connection with the poverty and crime, because I think, you know, that impacts the kind of students that we can attract or that are being educated in some of the schools. So just as a extra.
Very good.
Can I comment?
Yes, sir.
I think when I wrote in shorthand, adopt a state, that's exactly the kind of thing that we need to do. And it's not just the research, it's practicing. It's being out there, it's training the teachers, it's knowing what's going on. I had the opportunity to talk to a CEO of a Dow Jones company, Illinois-based, you'll probably figure out which one it is, 2 days ago. And he told me that when they recruit people in for jobs that are low-skill jobs, half of them are not qualified for low-skill jobs because of reading, writing, and drug failing drug tests. So we've got to recognize that we're part of that system. We're in the landscape. We need to pull our weight, and we need to provide solutions for Illinois, because the human capital wastage otherwise will slowly throttle us, and we won't have the it's in our best interest. Absolutely. Is what I guess. That's what I mean by adopt the state. Maybe trustees, we can talk about that in some of the breakout sessions about what that means and should look like.
Great point.